Changes announced today by the Prime Minister, eliminating the one-week wait for employment insurance because of fears of the coronavirus and the impact that it could have on workplaces across the country. Haven't seen a lot of it yet, at least not in terms of layoffs, etc. Some people have been told to work from home. The fine people at Google in downtown Kitchener have been told, yeah, until April the 10th, you can work from home. Colonel Alclair, he is an employment lawyer who joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Brian.
Are these busy times for you? Are you getting questions at all?
I have not actually come across our desk in terms of cases where someone's been terminated or laid off as a result of coronavirus. But we are in full anticipation that will become an issue at some point if this continues.
So I guess let's kind of look at that, because somebody who, say, went away on their vacation and came back and maybe went to one of these affected places, Italy, etc., and are put into that two-week quarantine, what rights do they have as an employee?
Well, they definitely have a right to retain their job. They would not have a right to be paid during that time that they're in quarantine, and they would have a right to return to their job once they've been cleared.
That seems a bit unfair. It's not really their fault, right?
Well, it's not their fault, but I mean, you have to look at it from the perspective of an employer and, trying to maintain the health and safety of his other employees who are at the workplace. So, I mean, is it completely unreasonable? That'd be the question. And, for the time being, based on the information that we have about this virus, I don't see it as that. But, if we're dealing with a situation where somebody is quarantined and then receives clearance to come back to the workplace and the employer still is not permitting them to return, that could be an issue. And there'd be a legitimate claim of constructive dismissal at that stage.
So does it make any difference if, say, an organization like Public Health Canada, which has said this, is, if you're not feeling well, stay away from work. Does that kind of directive make any difference?
In what regard?
Well, in terms of how an employee might be treated, because if you're telling me that, okay, if you're going to be placed under quarantine for 2 weeks, you're not going to be paid, I can see that there are people out there who would try to find a way around that.
As in come into work?
Come into work, which, again, doesn't play into the idea of let's maximize the health and safety of employees.
Well, I mean, that is a legitimate concern, and we're hoping people don't do that. But you wouldn't really know an individual doing that unless they show up to work and they're showing clear signs of being ill. In which case, I guess the only option would be to ask them to leave, and perhaps have the area cleared completely and be disinfected, much like RBC did yesterday at one of their offices in Meadowvale, where they found two employees had been infected, and they required all the employees to leave and go home while they disinfected the area.
It's just not a situation we've seen very often, huh?
No, I mean, I believe 17 years ago when the SARS pandemic was going around, mm-hmm. and I'm sure employers at that time were facing similar challenges. And it's a new area that, really is unexpected, and we're going through a bit of an adjustment period.
And there are, plenty of questions that people have around, I've got sick days, et cetera, how many of them can I use? Would there be, there's just so many different nuances around it for both employers and employees. What can employers do, I guess, to maybe smooth the path?
Well, one would be giving employees access to their sick days as well as their vacation days if they are not able to attend work due to illness. Second would be consider the option of whether or not it's practical for employees to work from home and actually institute that at their workplace and at the very least give it as an option. And thirdly, practice, emphasize the importance of good hygiene, having those hand sanitizers readily available for employees. Those would be good measures to start with.
And for employers, I guess in some ways it would be require a mindset that has you look at the long game. For example, what is going to best serve the business over the next 3 to 4 to 5 weeks, as opposed to you know, perhaps mostly being concerned about, well, this guy's going to be out for, you know, 2 weeks, and that's bothering me, but to look at the long game and see what's best. Because that, right. that short-term solution may not necessarily be the best long-term one.
Right, exactly. I mean, hopefully this is something that's going to be short-term, and then everyone is just going to have to adjust for it, but then everyone can go back to business as usual once this pandemic is resolved.
Do we have enough sick days in our cupboard, Gerlal? Because I know there were reductions made in Ontario, but do we have enough sick days for people?
Well, in a typical circumstance, you know, every company, there's a minimum sick days, but then every company has their own set of sick days that they provide to employees. And in the usual course, they should be sufficient, but in something like this, you know, there may need to be adjustments made. But at the same time, if an employer is, for instance, a small business, and they require and had to send all of their employees home as a result of some outbreak at their office, can we really expect that employer to pay these employees for 2-3 weeks without them actually coming into work? So, you know, I don't know the answer to that right now. You know, we'd kind of do a case by case basis.
Yeah, it's not a question that we've had to answer. So my point has been, is it fair to make an employee, you know, use up their 5 or 6 vacation days just to fill in that quarantine period? And as you rightfully point out, is it fair for a business to have to shoulder all of the cost for this when, as we pointed out, it's not anybody's fault?
Right. It's not everyone's fault. And that's a very important aspect of this. For instance, usually if employee's been working for a long time for employer and then all of a sudden abruptly gets laid off, you know, there'd be a legitimate constructive dismissal claim there because being laid off was never part of their contract. In contrast to this situation, if an employee is being sent home because of this virus and not permitted to come back to work and has to go on EI benefits, you know, do they have a legit? There wouldn't be, in my opinion, a claim at this stage for termination because this is something that's outside of everyone's control. It's not like the employer brought it into the workplace.
In unionized shops, of course, much of this I would think would be taken care of, although there are outliers there as well. But so this seems like something where if you're an employee or an employer, it'd probably be good to sit down and have a discussion on the what-ifs.
I think that would be very much advisable for all employers to actually have meetings about this and discuss the what-ifs and what, you know, advising employees what to look out for and what symptoms to look out for and to whom they should be reporting to.
And there's two different parts of that. One part is, you know, let's talk about the what-ifs when it comes to employment and what we're going to do here. And the other one part of that is the discussion about how do we ensure that your interactions with the public are still continuing safe and clean, et cetera.
Right, exactly.
Gerlal, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
No problem, anytime.
All right, that's Gerlal Clare. He is an employment lawyer in Toronto, and happy to have him join on.